It's an odd name to give yourself.
It's an odd bloke. Hello and welcome to Season 2, Episode 21 of the Tottenham Way podcast. I'm Tom and I'm your host. Joining us, or not joining us this week, is Dan Kilpatrick, who has cried this off. He has apparently got food poisoning from a bagel. Make of that what you will. In his stead, we have got Harry Sherlock. Welcome back, mate.
Hello, mate.
This
Thank
has got
you.
To be, what, five or six for you?
Five or six, yeah.
It's getting on a bit. I think you're taking, this is nearly the second match ball.
Yeah. Well, two match balls on the mantelpiece is great.
Yeah, exactly.
It's cracking.
Many more to come.
The Tottenham Way's Brad Friedel, as we decided earlier.
Yeah. Well, what did we say? Dependable, but the reflexes are going.
Spot on.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. It could be worse, mate. It could be Gomez.
Jesus.
Yeah. Also joining us is Alex, who is otherwise known as Biscuit Beck on Twitter. Hello, Alex.
Hi. Thank you for having me.
Not at all. What is Biscuit Beck about? Because I've been meaning to ask this for a little while. And I thought no better platform to do it than the pod.
It's a terrible story. So, you know, in MasterChef, Greg Wallace once said, buttery biscuit base.
Oh, yeah.
You may or may not know.
Yeah, it became one of my friends. Song,
yeah, remix. One of my friends randomly called me buttery biscuit Beck just around the time I was going on Twitter for the first time. So I thought, what better handle than biscuit Beck?
Mm. Yeah, and it stuck quite well.
And it works.
The problem is I'm now going to sing that. Every time that I get
don't do it on the pod, mate. Don't. I know you've got a mic.
I don't sing on the pod anymore. I sang on a podcast
anymore?
I did it last season. I can't remember what it was. I think I might have sang the Ginola song.
Well, yeah, we'll give you a pass on that one.
Yeah, but it didn't go down very well.
Mm.
It was poor. I was expecting, I think it was Dan and Jim and Ollie. I was expecting everyone to join in, and no one did. So that was a bit sad.
Maybe something when we win the league.
Do you think? Yeah.
Should we just release a charity single?
Do you reckon?
I reckon that'd be great.
Oh, that would be good for the last season of White Hart Lane as well.
That'd be so
good.
Do
a charity version of I'll Win the Spurs or something.
Yeah.
Just get trolleyed and do it.
Yes.
Shouldn't do a production meeting on air, really, should we? No.
No. I feel like we're getting away from the football.
Do you reckon?
A little bit. Just a little bit.
Can't do that impression. Before we move on and actually talk about Spurs, Harry, you're still at goal.
I am.
And you're still West Ham's correspondent.
I am.
Before we go any further, if no one's heard you on this podcast before, you are a Spurs fan. You're
just, I am, yeah.
Unfortunately, or no, actually, I'm going to say it's very fortunate that you're West Ham's correspondent because it must be... there's endless material at the moment. As a writer, you've got so much to write about.
Yeah.
The last time you came on... the stadium had been blown up for a film, still funny.
Yeah, it's funny, yeah.
And this time around, obviously, their best and most expensive or most highly paid player has told them all to fuck off, hasn't he?
Pretty much.
Has it been an interesting week for you reporting that?
It's been brilliant, mate. I've loved it. Last week was a bit of a whirlwind because obviously Bilic just said it, which is really rare for managers these days to be like, well, you don't want to play for us anymore. And all the fans were like, what? What? No, come on. Seriously? We just kind of chased it up after that. And he just wants to go back to Marseille.
Is it going to happen? Is it going to happen in January?
I would be stunned if it didn't.
Really?
Purely because he has said to Bilic that he just won't play for the club again. To the point where West Ham have actually investigated how much they're allowed to fine him.
Right.
Between now and the end of the season. If he keeps saying... that he won't play, because obviously if Bilic asks him to in his contract, he has to.
Mm.
People don't really think about that, I suppose, obligation that you have.
But then there's nothing stopping him going out on that pitch. And who was it that threatened to score an own goal? Was it Gallas?
It was Gallas.
For Chelsea or Arsenal, it said, release.
Wasn't it Chelsea for the move to Arsenal?
I think so, yeah.
It must have been.
Yeah.
It sounds about right.
And he was, Payet. They've said to him that they can fine 2 weeks' wages, but they can do that repeatedly.
Mm.
So they can fine him up to £2 million between now and the end of the season.
Wow.
So I think it's pretty clear he's going to go. It's just about West Ham and Marseille agreeing on it. Because West Ham wanted £60 million in the summer because they expected Barcelona's bid for him.
Mm. Yeah.
Which is still a funny sentence to say.
I like how you lost it a little bit there, just at the thought of it.
Yeah.
Quite right.
And then it went down to £40 million. And now it's at £35 million.
Right.
So I reckon he'll probably go for about 27.
Yeah,
and Marseille is almost certainly where it's gonna where he's gonna go.
I mean, obviously, unless China come in and are like, "We'll give you £700 million for."
Touted, really?
Well, they wanted him earlier this season, and then he signed his new deal. Right. So he used that interest to get the deal, and he's on like £125,000 a week. And I find it really funny as well because someone dug out an old quote of Bilic's when he was trying to force a move to
David
Everton.
It was Hills, wasn't it, in Said and Done?
Yeah, yeah. And he was like, I think he said something like, I'm not going to play for this club again. They have to be fair and let me go.
He wanted to go to Everton.
Yeah.
Which is, did he go in the end? Did Bilic ever play for Everton?
Yeah.
Seems like sort of.
He's that unremarkable 90s Premier League player,
yeah,
isn't he?
Yeah, yeah.
No one really remembers.
Yeah, if he wasn't a manager, you'd have forgotten he existed.
He'd be a really good like, quiz question on Sporkle that you'd forget. You'd forget about Slaven Bilic.
And then you get the answer and you're still like, who?
Yeah.
You have like five faces in your head and one of them is him, but you don't know which one.
And you spell it wrong four times as well. It's like double L. Yeah.
It's, three C's at the end.
Yeah, it's so... this is just like the shit cherry on top of their shit cake of a season, isn't it? It's unbelievable how badly this season has gone for him. It's hilarious, don't get me wrong. But like, you know, you got the stadium, which wasn't ready, and they opened it, and even when they did open it, it didn't sell out. You've got people fighting, you've got people leaving. All of this, and their results have been crap, and
they
now their
crap.
Best player wants to go. I mean, it's been a disaster, isn't it?
Yeah, it has. From day one, it was kind of doomed to failure, because they got beat by Juventus in that friendly with that kit that they weren't allowed to wear in the FA Cup.
Oh, yeah.
Which, again,
another
is...
Another one,
like,
yeah.
Really?
Like, what are you doing it's as so, a football club?
They are just... it's a shit show. Their transfer strategy is terrible. Their ownership is terrible. Karen Braid is more bothered about Harry Kane than she is about Payet. It's just... It's terrible. I don't think they'll go down, but...
No, I think, annoyingly, there's worse teams in the league than West Ham.
Unless they have that slump where, like, when Carroll gets injured again, and I say when because he will get injured again, then, like, they just don't really have anyone.
Well, this is the thing. Like, Zaza's gone to Sevilla. We will get on to Spurs. Sorry, I appreciate we've done, like, 7 minutes on this, but it is funny.
He missed his flight.
Zaza missed his course. Yeah.
He missed his flight.
Missed
and then
everything else this season, so...
They had to reschedule it, but apparently there was a feeling at Valencia that he actually didn't want to come. And Zaza was like, no, I just missed the plane.
Oh, that's them trying to backtrack on the offer, wasn't it? And, like, oh, look, mate, if you don't want to come, it's
yeah,
fine.
Yeah, exactly that. Because, like, we've seen you play. If you don't want to come, then...
But Kaleri's gone as well, isn't it? And, well, as good as gone. Dan was saying the other day, Dan has got some... I'm not going to say, just in case he wants me to edit it out, but he has got some insider knowledge on Kaleri. And he said that he's as good as gone as well. So they're banking... Are they banking on Andy Carroll staying fit for the rest of the season?
Well, they wanted Defoe, didn't they? They made the bid for Defoe, which was £6 million, which isn't enough. Like, I know he's 34, but he is literally Sunderland's only hope of staying up.
Yeah.
So you've got to pay the money to buy him. Then they bid for Robert Snodgrass.
About £3.8 million or something that.
He is not a striker. Like, anyone who's just seen FIFA or Football Manager will know that his position is central midfielder. It's just really bizarre. They had a bid for... his name's gone out of my head. They thought they had a chance of getting Batshuayi from Chelsea on loan, but then this whole Costa thing's happened, and it's all, everything bad that could have happened to West Ham has happened this season, and most notably in the past 3 weeks.
It is, yeah. I actually can't believe how hilarious it's getting, and to the point where you think people do dig out Levy, and in some respects, rightly so. But you look at someone like West Ham, who are in the same league and bigger stadium by all accounts, like, really, their ambition should be to be where we are.
Yeah, definitely.
And they are, definitely, aren't they? And you just think, we could have it so much worse. We could be clown car like them, and it's...
We were.
Yeah, I guess, yeah.
If we're being honest, we were. Like, it wasn't ever quite as farcical as what's happened... Well, it kind of was as farcical as what's happened with Payet, because Modric did this to us.
Yeah, Berbatov did it.
Bale did it.
Bale, yeah, pretty much. Yeah.
At the
People
end.
People don't like to admit it, but I think Bale definitely did refuse to train.
Yeah, he did.
Yeah.
Without a doubt, he did. Like, I think that was one where, like, Real Madrid pretty much told him not to train.
Yeah.
It was a bit murky, that, I thought. But yeah, we've lost, you know, Carrick. Jesus, Michael Carrick did it when he wanted to go to Man United. Yeah. You know, we've had enough of that. And what we've done, what we've been really intelligent at doing, and the opposite of West Ham, nice segue, by the way, is we tied all of our players down.
Mm.
What West Ham did was they were like, we've got a new stadium, so we're going to buy lots of really good players, and then we'll just give Payet a big contract. He definitely won't leave. Mm. We'll build his shirt into the side of the stadium.
God,
because he won't leave. And then they actually had to run a piece on the website. I don't know if they retracted it. It was up for like 10 minutes where they were like, the shirt isn't permanent, we can remove it.
Yeah.
And it's like,
they had someone guarding the picture of Payet on the wall outside.
Poor bloke, man. He must have been paid double for that, because there was that one guy who put like a shirt down. It's so pathetic, on the floor, and people were coming in and just walking over it. And then there was that one bloke who spat on it, and everyone else was like, right, I don't want to walk on that anymore.
But then the guy did rub his feet in it, and you're like, oh, mate, that's rough. It is nice. It's nice that it's not happening to us, isn't it, Alex? Like, this has, Harry's just said, this has happened to us so many times before. Yeah. And who knows? We may get to a point when this happens again, but at the moment with Spurs, the feel-good factor at Spurs, it doesn't feel like we're going to get
I feel with Levy particularly, like, obviously you're going to get isolated instances with players like Bale, but in terms of off the pitch, like, we're pretty watertight in terms of like being run as a business, like the image that the club gives off. It's like, it's brilliant. Like, the only, I feel like on field is where Spurs have caused more like instance of hilarity or embarrassment over recent years. I feel off the field, like, that on West, going back to West Ham, on their website, like that insider, ITK stuff. Insider.
I mean, that's great.
Spurs
for me,
like, would never go anywhere near something like that.
No,
like, as correspondent, I'm just like, I've written something. Oh, it's true because they've confirmed it.
Yeah,
thanks.
This is it.
Thanks for doing that.
Yeah, and I think Alex, the watertight thing, that's a perfect way of describing us. Not much gets in, and not much gets out, but what does get out is calculated and. You know, there's no chance that our manager would come out and say, yeah, Modric and Bale have stopped training.
I think the
it
last time
really happened like that.
The last time you could say that happened was Andros Townsend with his row with the fitness coach.
But that's because it happened on the pitch.
Yeah. And I think it's become quite clear as well with Pochettino that, like, if he loans a player out, like, that's it for you.
See you later.
You are done.
Yeah.
Bye.
Yeah.
You know, if that's the best deal we can get, then we'll get that for you and ship you off at a later date. Because, like, we've still not sold Fazio, apparently.
Yeah.
Like, we thought that was done, but it's not.
Mm.
So, but yeah, I think we're pretty solid.
Quick mention, we've signed Timu Taino's son, who is 14, so he's probably about what? Oh, yeah, sorry, yeah, you're miming the thing Taino did the
League
Cup final.
Yeah.
I loved that. And he will stay as a bit of a cult hero, I think, purely on the back
Definitely.
Of that.
He's got a great name as well.
Taino, yeah.
Like, it's a great name to, like,
Maximus Taino as well.
Properly shout when he scores a long-range goal. Like, it's like, Taino!
That's a great shout. Yeah. I hadn't thought of it like that.
It's a good one.
Like Hitzlsperger, when he used to smash him in top bins from
that's
like
a great shout.
Yeah.
I used to like it when Risa scored as well, because they used to do the full name when he did the free kick. Like, John Ali Risa!
Yeah. I liked him. He was a good time. We've done nothing on Spurs.
No.
It's done like 15 minutes. We've done absolutely nothing. But no, Taino. But I was chatting to Dan, and Dan was saying, like, he's still on WhatsApp. He's not quite dead yet. But he was saying...
Just checking in periodically.
Yeah, I'm just making sure that... You know,
like Cool Runnings, where he's like, you alive?
Just want to make sure that I get 100% of any profit that's made on Tottenham Way in future. Like, if he's gone, then that's all me. I presume I'm in his will. But he said that Taino's been doing scouting for Spurs for the last few months. He's been at the training ground quite a few times. Apparently, Levy really looks after ex-players that have kind of done nothing wrong, if you like. I mean, Taino went to Sunderland after us, didn't he? And it was a really unremarkable last few years in England that I think he had. I don't know where he ended up in the end. But yeah, apparently we've been kind of looking after him, getting him into the facilities, showing him around how stuff works.
It doesn't surprise me, because he's Finnish, isn't he?
Yeah.
So that's quite like an untapped region, I think.
Mm.
I think if you're thinking of like good Finnish players, probably the only one that comes to mind is Heider Helgason.
Litmanen? No, Helgason was...
Helgason?
Helgason was Icelandic, I think.
Well, there you go.
Litmanen was Finnish.
Nice bit of casual racism
on
here. Scandi racism,
was
love it.
Forsell Finnish as well. Mikel Forsell?
See, this is the thing.
I'd have said he was Icelandic.
That you don't know shows how... See, this was my point. That you don't shows how untapped that region is for really decent Premier League players.
Which is great, but he's gone and just bought his son.
Well, yeah, but you have to allow that, don't you?
Yeah, I suppose, yeah.
I'm pretty sure Taino was like a boyhood Spurs fan in Finland, which is quite random.
We had a big Scandinavian following, and I think we still do. I think like Danish Spurs and stuff like that, they do.
Quite big in Sweden as well, aren't we?
Sorry?
Sweden? Quite big in Sweden, I think.
Yeah.
We had a friendly in Denmark, was it?
This pre-season.
Yeah, when we played Celtic or whoever it into. I can't even remember.
Oh, yeah. It was 6-0, wasn't it?
So clearly, it's a market that we're like kind of interested in.
Yeah. There's money to be made all over
the world. It's an untapped one, though, isn't it? Like, you see Manchester United go to, like, Asia and America. Mm. And if we're like, well, we're just going to Denmark.
Yeah, yeah. Like... We're like the poor relation that's got crap honeymoons. Yeah. Anyway, let's move on. Let's actually talk about West Brom. So, 4-0, the hoodoo is over. Pulis does no longer have a hold over us. But, well, actually, we did this last time. It's not Pulis, it's West Brom. Like, Pulis has only been around for the last couple of years at West Brom, or a year and a half.
Mm.
West Brom have got a really annoyingly good record against us, but it's the first win that we've had at home against them since 2012.
Love the tweet at the end. Full-time 1-0. Oh, wait. 4-0.
Bit of bants from a Spurs official. Gotta love it. Always welcome. Pretty emphatic win. I think last week we were talking about it, and I asked Dan the question, do you think that it would be a significant psychological win as well as a normal victory to beat West Brom at home, considering what happened last year, considering their record against us, to do it and so emphatically, Alex, how big do you think a moment is, or is it just West Brom at home?
No, I think it's huge actually, because I think our draws against West Brom and losses have been like indicative of like quite a soft Tottenham, like particularly like 2012, 13, 14. Until Poch has been like making his mark on the team, it's got better, and like obviously we should have beaten them last year but didn't. So then, and in October, so I think this finally beating them shows like is like a transition from an old Tottenham to a new Tottenham, and like the fact that they arguably ended our title challenge last year will probably mean a lot to the players as well.
Yeah, I think that was quite key actually. Harry, do you feel there's a revenge element to that?
A little bit. I was more concerned personally with building on Chelsea. I thought that was equally as important as beating West Brom because, you know, when we beat Man City last year, I think when we beat them 4-1, like our next game was a 1-1 or a 0-0 draw.
Yeah,
I can't remember who we played.
Yeah, Swansea. Swansea.
Yeah, but we drew with Swansea and it was one of those where we dominated the game but we just couldn't score. Very Spursy result, you know, beat the big team, can't beat the small team. And I thought this was a real display of, I just think, ruthlessness. Because it's amazing to say that West Brom's best player was Ben Foster when they lost 4-0.
Always is.
Yeah.
Well, yeah, there is that. Yeah. But he genuinely kept the score down. It could have been 7 or 8. And Kane could have had 5.
Yeah.
Yeah. Like, yeah, we absolutely obliterated them. Like, there was... Yeah, it was just like completely dominant. Like their defence were absolutely all over the place. Seeing as they're normally like one of the most organised teams, they just looked like absolutely nothing like their normal selves. And I think that's more due to us than them having an off day.
I think they were very... I think the Spurs players were like towards the end, you could tell it kind of felt a bit like a friendly. It was a bit like we're enjoying this now.
We were taking a piss, actually.
Yeah, we were.
Yeah, definitely.
And like Ali, that chip for Kane's goal, like that's... Honestly... We say this a lot about clubs in the Premier League, but if Barcelona had done that, it would have been on loop.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Imagine
ever since.
Yeah.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. But, you know, I just thought that we were fantastic. And Ali is just becoming such a, to borrow an American term, he's becoming such a clutch player for us. Because he runs rings around defences. They just don't know what to do when they're faced with him.
Well, I thought it was key as well that he didn't score on Saturday, but and obviously his goals had been coming up. He scored in what, last five?
Yeah.
Four out of the last five, something like that.
Yeah.
Yeah, it must be. He scored against Southampton, scored against Watford, scored against Chelsea, scored against Burnley. Don't know if he scored against Hull, though, so I'm not sure.
I don't think he did.
Oh, yeah, it was to make it, it would have been his fifth consecutive game, which would have like equaled our record.
Yeah, which is ridiculous.
it's mad.
Yeah, it is. But I thought it was quite key to see him play such an important role without scoring on Saturday. I thought that was quite... It was important for almost fans to see that it's not just goals. And again, it's how close him and Kane are playing at the moment that we just build. If we build around that, we are likely to get successful.
Yeah, the positions that he takes up particularly, and Kane more so. I thought it was Kane's best performance against West Brom because he was taking up different positions. Like, he was making the right runs in behind. But Ali particularly, like, people comparing him to Müller, which probably quite accurate because he just finds space. He knows where to be. Like, the two goals against Chelsea, like, he knew which defenders to drift off, what space to be in.
It's just instinctive, isn't it?
Yeah.
It's one of those abilities that quite literally you can't teach it. Like, you can't teach when do I arrive to get on the end of that. You just have to judge it and gamble. And Ali's, I think he's deceptively quick. I think a lot of people underestimate just how much pace he's got. But his positioning against West Brom was fantastic because he was always looking for Kane as well. Like, it really reminded me of watching Man United when they had Dwight York and Andy Cole. Because it's kind of like, I need to find... Andy needed to find Dwight and vice versa. So I think their partnership is blossoming into something really brilliant.
With Eriksen buzzing around behind it, it's not like we've got them two and nothing else.
No.
Yeah. You know, we've got almost the perfect... And I've given Eriksen so much stick on this pod this year. In my opinion, rightly so.
Start of the season, definitely.
Yeah, yeah, very poor. But I think Dan made a good point a little while ago that... Actually, I think Dan made a point on Rule of Roost rather than this one, that Pochettino pissed about a little bit at the start of the season with formations and trying to, like, different combinations, when in reality, it feels so simple. Push the fullbacks up, get Ali as close as you can to Kane. And we've done that in the last five games, and we're soaring, we're flying.
I think it's quite a bold thing to do, because as much as you say it's a simple thing, and I agree with you, I think if you put 100 Tottenham fans in a room and you said, what formation are we going to play this season? I don't think any of them would have said 3-4-3.
Yeah.
Or 3-4-1-2, or however, 3-4-2-1, however you want
but
to say.
But oddly, it's been staring us in the face.
Yeah, it has.
Bit,
yeah.
It? You know, Dyer, Vertonghen, and Alderweireld are three of the best centre backs in the country. Two of them are, well, one of them is the best centre back.
One of them is the best defensive midfielder as well. Which is quite amazing, really.
Yeah. Yeah, but then we've got probably the second best central midfielder at the moment in Wanyama.
Oh, what, the slice of toast that comes with the English breakfast?
Lovely stuff. That was Paul O'Keefe.
Yeah, that was great. Yeah,
really nice, that. I thought it was something quite special on Saturday. And we've got to be careful not to get too carried away. But Brian Daly at Baz Daly has asked, how good was the first half performance in your time watching at White Hart Lane? It's probably the best I've seen since 87, which is not to get too carried away, but it's the best performance I've seen in the last 30 years. I thought that was a big call.
I don't want to say mine.
What's yours?
Because we lost
Go on.
Man United 3-0.
Yeah, it's a great shout. That's a great shout.
The second half was fucking a shambles.
Yeah,
but...
why not though? Yeah. If games finished at half time, we'd have probably won the league about four or five times over. But
we genuinely would have done though, like, if you add the points up. But on Ali, just going back to him, the CIES Football Observatory, they released their valuations today. Dele Alli's in the top 10. I think they reckon he's worth something around €80 million. Something like that. And Kane is worth more than Cristiano Ronaldo.
Is it, when they say worth, is this transfer or as
everything.
A entity?
As right, an entity. Okay, sure. So, like, Neymar's top. Neymar's worth, like, $280 million. It's ridiculous.
Right.
But Kane is, like, between 120 and 130 million.
Yeah.
Which is ahead of Ronaldo. And you look at those two players and you think their ceilings are both so high. Like, I really... Not getting carried away again. It's so hard, though.
Mm.
Like, I genuinely have a bit of a class of 92 feeling about this team.
Yeah, I do as well. I definitely do.
Yeah.
I feel like we've got potentially 5 years out of nearly every single player that we've got, without injuries permitting, before...
Yeah, of course.
Before age starts taking its toll.
Yeah.
I mean, Toby's only 28.
And you have to remind yourself, like, we're talking about Ali, and, like, you may forget he's only 20. Like, it's ridiculous. And Kane's 23.
Yeah.
Eriksen has been around for, like, 15 years for Denmark, and he's only, what, like 24?
Yeah.
And then all the centre-backs are, you know, they're entering their peak. It's ridiculous.
Rosen Walker at 26, 27.
Well, is Vorm the oldest player in the squad?
Yeah, he was the only player over 30, I think, at the start of the season, but I think Loris, Dembele, and maybe... Is Jan 30?
I honestly don't know.
Lloris definitely turned 30. Yeah. No, I don't think they are, because I read before the game against Southampton, the last time a player over 30 had started for us was like February 2015 or something.
That is mental.
That's ridiculous. Yeah. It's like that stat today about, I can't remember what it was, if Lloris had conceded every shot he'd faced.
Yeah, in the
every shot on target.
Days.
Every shot on target, yeah, we'd still have 10 points from 12.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's
and the
crazy.
Game we would have lost was Chelsea, I think.
Drawn.
Yeah. Was Chelsea.
That is genuinely crazy.
Yeah.
Absolutely ridiculous. We're looking at a Spurs team with, I haven't done the numbers on this, but we can't be far off being the best defensive unit in the whole of Europe, possibly world football.
I think like the other day
Tottenham.
It was...
Spurs.
No one can stop them, Tom.
Yeah.
That's the thing.
We can stop everyone, apparently.
The thing, I think we've got the second, I think it's second now. I'm not sure if Bayern won at the weekend, but I think we've got the second longest unbeaten run in Europe at the moment.
Okay.
It might be third, because we were joint with Bayern when it was 5.
Right.
So I think it's gone up
unbeaten
one.
Or winning?
Unbeaten.
So who was the last team we lost to? United?
United.
But United haven't lost for
they've been on a...
It might be United at the top then, to be fair.
Yeah,
that's true.
Because they were on... Because they got stopped with their consecutive wins, didn't they? With the draw.
Yeah.
We don't care about
us. No, it's fucked them. it's come to something that we've not actually talked about, Kane getting a hat-trick. We've hardly... talked about it, but
it feels like you should have had more though.
Yeah,
I think that's the thing. Like,
fucking useless bastards.
Spanner, he is.
I'm in a right pop at him. The third goal was obviously, I think, the best, but he had one point blank header missed.
Yeah, which he should have. Like, definitely. If we'd have drawn that 0-0, and you look at that. Like,
yeah,
that was very similar to Hazard at White Hart Lane.
I don't remember,
because it was. It kind of came out. So it was a different angle.
Yeah,
but it was
like really low. Really
yeah,
low.
Kind of a similar header, and it was one of those where everyone's like 9 times out of 10 Hazard scores that.
Yeah,
and obviously he didn't, but yeah, for that it was like 10 times out of 10 Harry Kane scores that. What's happened?
Yeah, his third Premier League hat trick for the club. He's now joint with Robbie Keane and Jermaine Defoe, which is joint top actually for us.
Great company.
Yeah, I thought Berbatov had a few more for us, but obviously not. Was he maybe still getting back into form? Because I remember a lot of people were saying against Chelsea he was very laboured, didn't really do that much. I thought he did a lot of selfless running and allowed Ali basically to score his two goals.
Yeah.
But is this maybe just reward for working hard after his injury in, what was it, September sort of time?
Yeah, I'd say, maybe West Brom was his best performance in terms of like all-round game. Like Southampton, Watford, obviously got goals. Chelsea, like, he did a perfect job. Like, Chelsea, like, all-round was a solid performance, but, like, didn't really threaten the goal. And then, like, against West Brom, he adds the goals in. And,
I watched that Chelsea game back. I don't think he played up front.
No, he didn't.
If I'm being honest, I think Ali did. I think they swapped roles for that game because... It meant that, like, probably they worked all week, Chelsea, you would assume, on stopping Harry Kane. And then at the start of the game, when you've got Harry Kane at essentially the cam position, and Ali's at striker, and they're thinking, well, that's not right. You know, it kind of bamboozles them from the off. I thought that was a really clever tactical move from Pochettino to say to Harry Kane, don't worry about scoring the goal, because we've got that now in the team. We've got goals everywhere.
Yeah,
which is,
or in certainly in our front three, which is really all you need. You need them, and then you need two or three.
But our fullbacks are genuine attacking threats as well, like going forward. So, but I think Kane is, I think he's hit top gear now, and if he stays fit, then he'll win the Golden Boot by a country mile.
Yeah.
I think
one off Costa,
and he had what? How long out? 2 months.
2 months. Yeah,
that's like, mad.
About 9 games. I think.
Sanchez and Ibrahimovic 11 as well. With Costa, and they've also played, well, like, every game for their team.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah.
He's obscene. He's and we're saying that Eriksen, he's now, sorry, only De Bruyne has got more assists in the league, and so I've dug him out a lot on this pod, but he's got the numbers to kind of back it up, and it's the performance, is the all-round performance now. Is this something? Is this just purely down to formation? If we hit the perfect formation for our players 1 to 11,
yes,
yeah,
I think so. I think it is that, like, because you see it with every team. Like, if you take England as an example, like, we hit on our perfect formation when we beat Germany, when Eric Dier scored in the last minute. And I think we played 4-3-3 that game, I think, if I remember rightly. And then, like, everyone was like, right, we need to do this going into the Euros. And Hodgson was like, no. And it's like, why not, though? Because this is clearly what works. And then, obviously, we got beat by Iceland. So, like, it's not hard. Like, football isn't difficult. You put your best players on the pitch and you play them in their best positions. Pochettino is doing that. And the best managers make football look really simple.
Yeah.
Pochettino's doing that as well.
Yeah, every individual that you pick out in our team, like all 11, you could say that this formation brings out the best in them. Like, obviously, the fullbacks, Eriksen is able to come a bit deeper, find so much space, and he can get right next to Kane. And then you've got Vertonghen and Dier pushing into midfield. Alderweireld can just be the rock. Dembele and Wanyama just do what they do in the middle of the field. Yeah. It just suits every player so well.
It's amazing that we can sort of reduce the amount of defensive responsibility on a number of our team while also being more solid defensively. Do you know what I mean? Like Ali, that pressing from the front is such a hallmark of Pochettino. But for Eriksen and Ali to do that, it almost feels as if it's a lot of wasted running. I don't mean that in a I think it's wrong, but I just think this system allows them to go, all right, you can fuck off down the wing all you want, but I know that if Walker wins that ball back, passes it into me, he's on his bike, he's on the byline already. We did it 3 or 4 times, especially down Walker's side.
It'd be really interesting to see how Lamella fits.
He doesn't, I don't think.
No, I don't. Can't see it.
I think he plays in Ali's position.
I'm a fan of Lamella.
I think he's Ali's deputy now.
But he doesn't he doesn't have enough end product.
He doesn't score, I don't.
Well, he scores maybe, for a bonus.
But then maybe, but maybe he does score in this system. It's
because he likes space. He likes having a lot of space as well.
I think he could be Eriksen's replacement more than Ali's in this
system. I've always liked him when he's been at number 10. Like, I feel
we
like he's a bit hidden out on the wing.
He did it a couple of times, He played it when he came on against City last season in the away win as well. He put the ball through for
Eriksen. He was great there as well.
Yeah. See, I like Lamella, and I sort of feel like he might be Bentaleb'd out of this in the way of we've changed the system slightly, and there are casualties. There's always casualties
there
in
are.
Systems. And I just think if you're winning, you can't. People were talking about, we could still do with him for the press and stuff. But again, if you're not needing to press from the front because you've got 5 guys behind you that can do the job as well as you can, 10 yards further back and then start the break quicker and with more potency and with better end products.
I mean,
stuff,
but if you can, add goals to his game, then I'd have Lamella up front over Janssen.
I know what you mean,
Yeah.
Like, I genuinely would as a false nine. I think that would work. Because Janssen is not the striker we need for this formation. Thank God we've got Kane. Because if it was just Vincent Janssen, we'd probably be like 15th.
Yeah, I think that's fair.
Because he can't hit a barn door with a fucking machine gun.
I feel a bit
gun.
Sorry for Janssen, but again...
Why?
Yeah.
Well, I think it's not always going to work out for players. I don't think he's come in and just thought, oh, this is bollocks, I'm just going to not...
No, I think...
He's still trying, he's just rubbish.
I really liked... I loved Soldado. Like, I was one of the first to, like, kind of say, just give him a break kind of thing. You know, he's clearly trying. He clearly loves playing for Spurs. I always got that impression. His goal against Everton is one of my all-time favourite Spurs moments because the guy was in tears after scoring a goal because that's how shit he is.
Yeah,
like,
yeah.
I've scored a goal. I'm going to cry.
I remember this.
I remember this feeling, And Janssen, though, is just... He's just bad.
I think Janssen is Soldado without the fan attachment.
Without the charm.
We all loved... Yeah, but I don't think Soldado had that much charm, really.
Yeah, but
he was bought for a lot of money and we needed a striker and we thought he was going to be it. So we had almost no choice but to support him. With Janssen, he's got a thankless task. He's second behind
but then if we
the
didn't have,
club hero.
If Soldado had been really good, would we have had Kane? I mean, that's another thought. So maybe Soldado it's being shit led to Harry Kane. Janssen isn't going to lead to anything.
I think we should just write off this season for Janssen. But because he's, what, 21, 22, and he's scored goals. And I think he was impressive earlier on in the season. Like, away at West Brom, away at Middlesbrough, the first halves, it was working quite well. It's obviously not working at the moment. New formation, doesn't really know what to do. Like, playing in the cup with 10 reserves or 8 reserves isn't going to bring the best out of him immediately. Although he should have obviously been better because it was diabolical against Villa.
Yeah, but I think you hit the nail on the head though with doesn't really know what to do. I just think that applies if you put him in 4-4-2, if you put him in 4-5-1, just doesn't know where the goal is.
Yeah.
But he's not getting in the positions to do it either.
But I wouldn't offload him. I mean, we must have seen something in him. I think he did show a bit early season, so I'd keep him. See how it goes in pre-season.
Prepared to sit on the bench as well.
Yeah, which he must be
on the bench at the moment. But
no,
he's obviously happy enough to know that he's going to sit on the bench. But you know,
it's interesting though because with the formation we've got, we need multifunctional players. We need players that can play in more than one position. Like Son. Son is the perfect example of that.
Yeah,
because you could realistically put him at wing back. You wouldn't want to.
Oh God, no.
But you could. Like, he would be able.
He's like the opposite Ben Davis.
That's a bit.
He's got the skill set to do it, but you wouldn't want to do it with Vincent Janssen. It is just centre forward. That is his position, and I think he will go in the summer because he just isn't as multi-dimensional as we need him to be.
I think if he'd have come on and if he'd have scored a couple of the goals against Villa or come off the bench and scored any goal in the Premier League, we wouldn't be saying he wasn't multi-dimensional enough. We'd be saying he scores goals, he's an option.
Pavlyuchenko was the ultimate of just doesn't it does like I'm Love not 100% sure he was a footballer, but he scored goals, and he scored he scored against Cannon fodder. Still score goals. It's
good
more
side, then.
Like Janssen. Yeah, no, I don't know. I don't know why we've gotten to Janssen. Not even on he wasn't even in the squad on Saturday. But the Vertonghen injury looked quite nasty, and Pochettino has said as much, which, Alex, we were talking before we came on, that for Pochettino to say something that sort of black and white, that it looks bad, it's too swollen for us to even look into, doesn't look good for Vertonghen, and it's we're in late January, or getting towards late January now, could be a season ender, which would be a real derailer for us. I think he's been excellent this season. With our fullbacks playing as they are, do you think that we need to keep this 3-5-2 to accommodate the wingbacks, or would you look at it and think, well, hold on, one of our best centre-backs is injured, let's try and bring it back, get a bit more protection for our defence, change back to
100% stay 3-5-2. I back Vimba to do a job. I really rate him. I thought he was good last year when he came in, and I think just slot him straight in for Vertonghen. It won't quite be the same. It is a big loss to be without Vertonghen, but I think keep the same system, just put Vimba in, hope he can do a job.
Harry?
Yeah, Vimba or Carter Vickers. I'm not against
no Ben Davis.
Him.
I'm weirdly optimistic about Ben Davis as a centre back, much more so than I am about left wing back or left back.
I get that purely because Ben Davis has the attacking intent of my nan. So I wouldn't want to play him at wing back at all, especially with just how good Rose is as well.
Yeah,
like it's such an obvious downgrade. I kind of see that, I suppose, but I mean, I'm not that. This will probably come back to bite me, but I would be far more concerned if that had been Toby.
Oh yeah, definitely.
So
irreplaceable.
Yeah, without a doubt.
And we know this. We've seen it already this
and
season.
You've got Dyer, you've got Toby. So whoever comes in there, they're not going to have to do that much work, really, because of how good their partners are going to be. It's just don't make a stupid mistake.
But that's what I think Vimmer's got in him, and I just don't think Davis is. I feel like Davis is the type to, if he's got two choices, pass it out or boot it into Rose Ed, one's riskier than the other, he probably would boot it into Rose Ed.
He's the football equivalent of a risk assessor.
I like that.
He'll take the less risky option every single time.
Yeah. Which is fine, because we've got Man City coming up, and I'm fine with that.
I'm concerned about his height. I feel like in I feel like we'd want to put in a player who doesn't have any obvious weaknesses. And I feel that Davies would be targeted. Like any team we play against, they're going to go nowhere near Alderweireld or Dier. Their tall striker is going to go up next to Davies.
But and City he's going to be really exposed. I was going to say, where's City?
Well, no, not necessarily City.
Yeah,
but
yeah.
In
I see
the
what
future.
You mean. Going forward, yeah. We've got imagine Crouch versus Davies. Sorry, it's just made me.
Whereas like Vimmer, you could say he's like in the model. He's not the same as Vertonghen, but he's in like that kind of. He's in like the model of Vertonghen. Like
he's
we basically
unit,
want.
He?
We basically want him to come in and become Vertonghen. Mm. And I think he's much more likely to do that than Davies. I feel like Davies could be exploited.
I would have Davies third in that pecking order. I would put Carter Vickers ahead of him. I would.
Maybe if he had... Carter Vickers impresses me, but to put in an 18-year-old or 19. He just turned 19.
You're right, though, Alex. The height thing for Ben Davies is a problem. But against Man City... Aguero, Silva, even De Bruyne. You kind of just need that guy to be... My problem is mobility, and Bergakev is, like, bless him, but he's not quick, is he? I think he's quicker
Davies
than people give him...
This might have to be a Will Score more than you game, to be honest.
I was going
to
say. Well, let's move on to Man City. We should talk about it. So do you think that this... Oh, Saturday 5:30, oh, it's going to be horrific. I'm already nervous for it. Because like, earlier on in the season, nearly every game I was like, you know what, whatever happens, happens. But we do it every single January. We put Spurs into contention for something awesome.
Yeah.
And it makes every game massive, which means when it, or may not happen this season, but when in previous seasons it has gone wrong, it's hurt even more.
Yeah.
But is this more of an indicator of our title credentials than Chelsea was? Because I, no?
No, because City are shit.
Okay.
No, but they are.
But we were. No, I don't think we were quite in the title race until we beat Chelsea, and now we very much are.
That's just one of those things with the way the Premier League is. Like, it demands a statement result. Like, just by its nature. Mm. Like, I think you could win the league if you beat everyone and just draw with your rivals. I think you'll be fine. Because the odds are that Arsenal will go to West Brom and get beat, and, you know, so on and so forth. And that Chelsea performance, I think, was so good as well that you couldn't not call us title contenders after that. Mm. West Brom game, thrashed them. City, I look at them and they have got far more weaknesses than we have, without a shadow of a doubt. And I think Harry Kane, Dele Alli, Christian Eriksen, they are going to love playing against that defence.
Mm. Yeah, I feel like if we beat City, it'll feel... Like last season, beating City probably felt similar to beating Chelsea. It felt like the moment we entered the title race, it felt huge. Like we beat a really good team. Like one of the City at that point were probably still like favourites for the title based on their league position. Whereas at this time, City aren't quite there. And I feel like if we beat them, it'll be like a really, really impressive victory. But it won't quite be like, wow, we've just beaten an incredible team away from home. Mm. Like the title's ours, kind of. Whereas after Chelsea, you kind of felt... we're here now.
You look at it and you look at what Everton did to them. And, all right, Goodison Park seems to freeze teams up. It just does because it's such an imposing ground. But I think, like, I tweeted it after the game and I said, look, we're better than City. Mm. And I think as a team unit, they've probably got better individuals if you compare them 1 to 11. But as a cohesive unit, we're better than City. We should beat them.
Whereas against Chelsea, I almost think it's an opposite. We were, as a unit, Chelsea were functioning as good as anyone in that formation. But man for man, you take all of our defenders and goalkeeper over theirs, all five of our back five, including the wing-backs and theirs. Yep. Centre-mids, Kante and Dembele would probably walk the league if they both stayed fit all season.
Yeah.
Costa versus Kane, who knows where Costa's head was. Like Eriksen and Ali were... Hazard and whoever else played up front with him, Pedro. didn't touch the side. So I think it's almost an opposite scenario. I'm going to ask you the question then. So the question that I asked Dan last week about a psychological win, is it going to be a psychological test? Because I agree with you. I think we are better than Man City, and watching them against Everton looked like how we did at White Hart Lane when we broke them. Is it going to be a test of just how, you know, we're better than you, let's go out there and show it?
Absolutely. Yeah, without a doubt. I think this is the first time I can say this and really believe it. But this is Man City are going to have to stop Tottenham, not the other way around.
Mm. Mm.
And I think that's a massive change, like in mindset. Mm. Because last season, like if you look at Leicester, if you take Leicester as a prime example, you know, last season they just surprised everyone. This season they tried to play the same way, but everyone's wised up to it.
Mm.
We've evolved, we've changed, we're challenging, they're not. You know, and we're in a position now where we can go to City and we can say, actually, yeah, we do deserve to be here as more than your equal.
In that case, then, yeah. I'm going to ask you, Alex, we probably had identical conversations before Old Trafford. You know, we think we'd just beaten Swansea 5-0. Yeah. We started to get back into a little bit of form. We all thought that we had a really good chance of going to Old Trafford and winning, not just getting a result or anything. I think we all were pretty much like, I was weirdly convinced that we were just going to go there and roll them over.
Yeah, I had high hopes.
So, lessons to be learned, do you feel?
I just feel that United game, we were just terrible. Like, we didn't do anything. We just weren't playing well at all. I'm not sure what we can learn from it. I think it was just like an off day. And maybe, I think under Pochettino, you see like, after a damaging defeat, we always seem to go on a run. And maybe the team just isn't quite, or maybe it is now, like isn't quite experienced enough to like cut out those terrible days. And I feel like on Saturday, if we turn up and play like how we know Spurs can, then we will win. It's just about cutting out that like terrible day that we have, like away at West Ham last year, home to Newcastle last year. After both of them, it sparks like really long unbeaten runs.
Yeah, I think that's a good point. And also winning at City last season. We've beaten them 3 times in a row as well. Could I ask you a question? Did you guys read the running order that I sent you earlier? Or have you not seen this question yet?
Yeah.
Did you? So hopefully there's no cheating involved here.
Okay.
Don't want you to sully the good name of the Tottenham Way podcast. In the last 10 league games against our top 6 rivals, so Arsenal, Liverpool, Chelsea, United, City,
mm-hmm.
We have got the joint most points against City City are the joint most.
Did you read the question?
I wrote the question. Right, what I'm trying to say is we've got the most amount of points against City and one other team, like they're joint. So we've got 12 points against Man City in the last 10 league games that we've played against them. Do you know who that is joint with, that record? In that top 6?
What's that going back
Arsenal, to? Liverpool. 20... So that's going back to 2012-ish. Arsenal, Liverpool, Chelsea, United.
I'd say Arsenal.
Well, it's definitely not Chelsea.
No, it can't be
obviously
Chelsea.
Not Liverpool.
Liverpool's our worst. We got 7 points against them in the last
and
10 games.
I wouldn't even dare to look at the goal difference.
Yeah, God, very bad.
Yeah, I'd say United.
It is United.
Is it?
Yeah, we've got something like 4 of
it. Does it include the 3-2. Away win under AVB?
Yeah, the 3-2, the 2-1, the 3-0, and we've got like 5 or 6 draws out of it. As well, I was really surprised at that. United didn't enter my thinking at all. I thought it would be Chelsea.
There's a great video on YouTube. Someone's just uploaded those 7 minutes from the game, and you can just watch those 7 minutes.
There's a guy that filmed it in the crowd after the first goal, and then he's right next to the United fans, and he's taking the piss. And then the second goal goes in, and as we're still celebrating, the third one goes in. Anyway, sorry, we're moving on. But City seems to be that game that we're setting ourselves up for a bit of a fall here, but City are definitely that team that we can get at in that top 6, and it feels like they can't quite shake that crap team element that they've always going to carry with them. League titles mean fuck all, mate. Like, you're still Man City. You've still got the capacity to be the Northern Spurs nearly every other season. So do you consider this a bit of a grudge match?
Yeah.
Yeah, I do as well.
Because we kind of had this conversation a couple of months ago, I think, when we were talking about, like, because it goes back to the game at the Etihad with Peter Crouch, and, you know, Mancini was in charge. And I think since then we've been a bit frustrated since then, because I think we've looked at City and said, why didn't we do that? And I think it's quite obvious why we didn't do that, because they've got shit tons of money.
Mm.
Like, that's probably the reason. But beyond that, I think I don't feel like City are bigger than us. Not really. Mm. Like, I think if we go to Man United away, I still think there's a little bit of a complex there. I didn't expect us to beat them. I thought we'd draw with them earlier this season. I was disappointed with our performance, but I never think we're going to beat United away. I just can't shake it. I never think we're going to beat Liverpool away either.
Yeah.
But with City, I'm a bit like, it's City.
Yeah. I don't know whether that permeates into the club or not, but we've definitely got this little bit of a hold over them. You know, they have that spell of putting 19 past us or whatever it was, and Aguero couldn't stop scoring against Loris. But
I like that goal with that fucking... Was it Vertonghen who was still doing his laces up at kickoff?
No, Cabal. Actually, Cabal. I think it was both of them, yeah. 13 seconds later, it's in the back of the net.
Nasri. Yeah. With the most ridiculous finish you've ever seen as well. Like, that was a stupidly...
No, it was their shitty right winger that can't...
Navas,
yeah. Never done anything else.
Definitely a cross.
Yeah.
But yeah, absolutely. Yeah. It was a clearance.
I think it's quite satisfying. I mean, this team would take a lot of satisfaction from beating a team that like City, who you still look at and think they're built around like individual ability rather than like a team. It's like the ultimate matchup of like individuals against a team. And like Aguero, like Silva, when you see them on the team sheet, like before a match, you're going to be so nervous because they're like terrifyingly good. But then like now, when you look at Spurs, like in terms of how we play as a team.
If you're a Man City fan and you know that your defence, or rather the visiting team has got Harry Kane, Dele Alli, Christian Eriksen, Danny Rose and Kyle Walker as their most advanced players on the pitch, and you know that their direct opponents are Claudio Bravo, John Stones, Otamendi, Kolarov usually somewhere, Zabaleta's usually playing centre right wing midfield or whatever, yeah. Pep Guardiola.
Right wing midfield Sanya. Back.
Fancy Rose.
Clichy, I think, did Clichy play against Everton? Basically, it's a pile of old shit at the back for City, isn't it? I do agree, it's about who scores more. And I think
this is a game where our press has to come into effect.
Mm.
Like, because I think when we were talking earlier, I think you were right about the fact that we don't need to do it against West Brom, maybe. But against Man City, we absolutely have to do that because they are so nervous. And I can see us... I'm setting us up for a fall again. But I can see it being that kind of goal where John Stones tries to pass it out. He only finds Ali. Ali gives it to Kane. Kane smacks it in the back of the net.
Yeah.
You know, because that's the way City play. You know, Pep Guardiola is... I don't think he's a fraud. I'm not going to be that...
But it is funny, Twitter, isn't it?
It is funny. He's trying to play Barcelona football with Boreham Wood players. It's just not going to work.
Yeah. I think it's fucking hilarious. I think he's coming with a... I've got no opinion on Guardiola whatsoever, but any argument against him being a dickhead so far in his Man City career, it can be immediately negated by his signing and continued use of Claudio Bravo. And it feels like that could be the key... He could be the key man for every reason that he doesn't want to be.
I feel like the way to defend Guardiola would be to say he's got this style of football that he knows he hasn't really got the players for, but he's going to go with it, and then eventually it will work because he'll find the players. But he signed Bravo in the summer, and he just is a terrible keeper. And Stones, he signed, plays him in virtually every game, and you just can't defend it. And yeah, Bravo
knocking
with
Stones.
Nice, yeah. But there's not many options to him, is there? For a club that has got... I'm going to refer back to that Chelsea game. Again, I looked at those Chelsea defenders, that back five, and thought, wouldn't swap Moses for Walker, wouldn't swap Alonso for Rose, wouldn't swap the three centre-backs for our three centre-backs, probably wouldn't swap the keeper. And I look at City, same thing. Exactly the same thing. Wouldn't swap a single one of their defenders.
Well, it's no surprise, is it, that like City are being linked with Rose and City are being linked with Walker. Like, but you look at it now and you're like, that is genuinely a sideways step right now.
Yeah.
Like there is just no need for you to want to force that move. Because why would you? Like, if you're Kevin Vimmer, then fair enough. Like,
He probably would improve them.
He probably would, though. That's the thing. He'd get a game for them.
Yeah.
And I think if you look at it, which players are you taking out of that for Tottenham? And I think probably the only one is Aguero. Try and fit him in somewhere.
Would gain our team.
De Bruyne is great.
Yeah.
He is really good. And to be fair, the wheels fell off when he got injured.
But Eriksen is in better form than De Bruyne. So even going into Saturday, if you said, for this one match, would you rather have Eriksen on your team and De Bruyne on City or vice versa? You'd say Eriksen as of right now.
Yeah, you would.
Yeah. And Ali as well. I mean, Silva's still a magician. He's a wonderful player, but
he is.
You want Ali on the end of one of those crosses, don't you?
Yeah,
so
definitely.
I feel like we're in a similar position to when we went to the Emirates last season and we kind of dominated for 70 minutes and we were almost surprised at how easy it was for us to press their back line, that when it came to a point where we're like, just shoot, fucking shoot, we were like, all it took a split second
up.
More. And that's my concern against City. It's almost that we're so far beyond... I feel like we're favourites and rightly so, but also quite big favourites for this game. I think
definitely.
It would be good money on us. But
I think it's one of those games that you look at, and if you're serious about winning the title, you've got to win this.
Mm.
I think that's where the psychological test comes from, because that is the question that's going to be asked of Tottenham now, between now and the end of the season, because we're second in the league. It's always going to be champions win this match. That's how it's going to go. And then if we lose, it'll be... champions recover from that.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? And it's going to be that until the end of the season, until, you know, we go to Middlesbrough and lose 5-1.
Yep.
That'd be great.
Yeah, that's going to be a great day out.
I can't wait.
Yeah. What's our last game?
Holloway.
Yeah, they're already relegated. Yeah, it's going to be brilliant.
Look at Tom Huddleston scoring a hat trick.
Yeah. Would say Jake Livermore, but he's off to West Brom, apparently.
Is he? What a move for him.
What a Pulis signing that is.
Bless him.
So, I mean, we do have to look at it. We've still got one of our best defenders out. They have still got Aguero. They have still got Silva. They have still got De Bruyne. I'm going to push you for a prediction. Or is that just too much? Is it too much to think about right now?
It's away, isn't it?
Yeah.
2-0 Spurs.
Hello. What would it have been if it was at home then?
Probably 3-0.
Okay.
To be fair, I didn't want to go overboard, but I genuinely think we could score a few against them. And I think because it's at home, there will be that cagey opening 30 minutes, just because there always is.
Mm.
But if it had been at home, we could have attacked them. And if it had been at home, I probably would have said 4-1 again, because, you know.
Yeah. Alex?
With how clinical our forward players are at the moment, I'll go 3-1 Spurs.
Nice.
I'm going to go 2-1, same as last year. I've got a feeling we might go into the lead, kind of shit ourselves a bit like we did last season. Iheanacho's quite a good player and he likes to...
I like him a lot.
Yeah, I do. I think he's got something that can hurt us. It's that little bit of injection of pace that
Does he play? Will he play?
He'll come on,
probably. I expect him to come on if they're 1-0 down.
I think it'll be one of those where, if it's 2-1, it'll be one of those where we're 2-0 up and then they'll score. And the last 10 minutes will be...
That'll be the test.
Yeah.
It's going to be absolutely horrible, that, isn't it?
Well, it might not be, mate. We might be 5-0 up by the 90th. That'd be great.
Yeah, it would genuinely surprise me if we have a City away at United result. That's 6-1.
Do you know how good would that be,
though? Do you know what I mean, though? Like, that just taking advantage of a team that you know you're better than, and you just take the piss. Score every chance.
This is something you normally say in hindsight, but it looks like a perfect storm of a team banging form, scoring goals at pretty much every opportunity, affording to miss the easy chances, going to a team that is bereft of confidence with no defensive cohesion whatsoever. It looks ripe for a thrashing.
Mm-hmm.
When you put everything together, you have to say that Tottenham have to be favourites to win this game.
Yeah. Everton aren't a great team either.
They're not, but they are massively helped by Goodison Park.
Yeah, but even so... Like that.
No, they're not great.
The
bastardry levels of Romelu Lukaku as well, trying to steal that goal. He's kind of a bit of my hero now, because I'm a bit like, that was, if you'd have scored that would have been honestly...
Didn't quite Dave Nugent it though, did he?
He tried.
He did try.
He missed it.
Yeah, he did.
He missed it.
His striking record at the moment. All right, let's move on. Let's do some listener questions. Wow, we have massively overrun by talking about West Ham, I think.
You love having me on. Come on.
I know. It is funny. I can't not talk about it. It's always funny. Listener questions. Brett. Nurse at BR Nurse, what would it take for you to stop loving our club right now? Bit of a loaded question, that, but
yeah.
I think it's a good question, because everything's going really well. I think we can even accept losing 5-1 at a relegated Newcastle and still love our team, I think we can accept anything on the field. So I reckon this is more of an off the field sort of question. Anything that you could happen to us right now?
It would have to be like a Jonathan Woodgate Lee Bowyer incident.
We found out that like one of our players was like a proper bastard, and not like, you know, not like, oh, you know, he kicks the shit out of the opposition like Eric Dier does, like a proper like, I don't want you playing for my club.
Danny Simpson, that sort of level.
That's kind of it.
That sort of Vardy stuff in the summer. I drank Skittles vodka,
and my injury didn't heal when I couldn't work it out. Well done, mate.
He's a dickhead, isn't he?
Stop loving it is quite like a big.
Yeah, it's huge. Isn't it?
So, is there anything then that would stop you loving Spurs? Red kit.
Vincent Cardiff Tan takes over.
Cardiff did it.
Booing the own team.
Would it be that level?
We announced that our stadium is being designed like the Olympic Stadium, something like that.
It's like
sponsored by Puma or something, Red and it becomes Puma Heart Lane. It's like, no.
Everything's good at the moment, isn't it?
Yeah, it's pretty good.
Anyone that maybe we would sign, or I don't know, maybe the thing that. So we had Greg Stobart on a few weeks ago, and he was talking about the new stadium and the sponsorship deal that's likely to be happening. He seems convinced that it's going to be Qatar Airways. That would bug me.
Why?
Because of the abysmal human rights record and the money that puts into the club is no better than Abramovich and the sheikhs at Man City.
That's interesting, because it is that old question of, would you be willing to buy a league title?
We've seen over the last 2 years, we don't need to. We just need to start a season better. I know it sounds really stupid, easy, but it's possible. Leicester won it on fuck all. And their money's come in from dubious means.
Yeah, it's proper shady, that.
Yeah, but at the same time, you can win it on a budget.
I'll tell you what would annoy me, if Daniel Levy landed on the pitch in a fucking helicopter after every game and Sky insisted on showing it every time.
Yeah.
Oh, he's landed. Yeah, we know. He travels in a helicopter. Do you want to just fuck off with
it? That's Leicester's a bloke, isn't it?
Yeah.
Yeah. Alex?
I can't remember what I was going to say.
No problem.
I've remembered. Going back to the money thing, I feel like, okay, we could win the league without it, but if we want to remain a big club for like the next 25, 50 years, we have to have, like, if we want to become a Man U or a Liverpool, we have to. I'm not sure if the current model is sustainable.
I'm going to disagree. I think for what United are now, I think they have got the potential to hemorrhage money and therefore followers for the next 10 years. They've got.
Yeah.
Their strategy is fucking diabolical.
Oh, it is.
And I just feel like the way that we're run,
but we won't always be. If someone takes over from Levy,
Levy's likely got probably a 5-year shelf life after the stadium.
If that, I think as soon as they get a good offer,
do you think?
Probably.
But then it's there was that whole thing with the, I can't remember the names. It was double barreled though, wasn't it? With that takeover from America.
Kane Hopkins, something
like that. And it was like there was a term of the negotiation that if they take over, Levy keeps his job.
Yeah.
And it was never really going to happen. But I think that will stick. I think Levy will stay. And if Levy gets Qatari money, I don't think he'll spend it.
Yeah, pocket it.
I genuinely don't, he's not the kind of player that goes out and buys Griezmann, let's say. He's not going to be like, I'm going to go and spend Griezmann, 60 million on Griezmann, get him in the squad. Manager's got no fucking idea, but I've wrapped a bow on his head and that's your present. Go on, Maurizio, fit him in the team. Like, that's not going to happen. Maybe we can shop in a different store. Like, we maybe go from Sainsbury's to Waitrose. It's quite nice. But it's not going to be 50, 60, 70 million being pissed around. You know, even if Levy has Qatari money, I think he'll spend it astutely.
Yeah.
Because
on making us a marketable brand, worldwide brand, rather than doing it for.
Obviously, you need players to do that. Mm. You need the trade off.
You know, you said Ali's worth whatever, 140, I think Kane's worth 160.
What that would do is it means that no player would ever have to seek a move again. Like, the only reason that they would seek a move would be purely footballing reasons. Like, if Harry Kane literally won everything, with us. And then Barcelona came in and he said, like, I do want at least two seasons in Spain. Like, we're going to say, yeah, all right, you know, fair enough. We'll get a good whack for it. You've won everything with us.
Yeah.
Kind of deal.
Yeah, I think that's fair.
I just think at the moment we've got, like, the perfect storm of Levy, Pochettino, stadium on its way, training ground, and, like, this incredible squad. And I just think we have to make sure that this isn't just like a five-year period where everything's great. We want it to be great for like the foreseeable future.
We don't want it to be, oh, do you remember those 5 years?
Yeah, and we need, well, and in the more short term, we need to win something with this squad, yeah, like desperately. Yeah,
we do. I think it's the missing piece.
FA Cup, please.
Yeah, definitely. Why not? Yeah. If the league is a difficult one, it's going to be more difficult than it was last year. Leicester won the fucking thing last year.
Stop saying that.
Yeah, but we were just too far behind it, weren't we? But yeah, I've said it quite a bit, actually.
Yeah, you have. Yeah, like that's like the third time
Sorry.
This pod.
All right, next question. Matt Hermes at the-herms. sorry, it's just really made me laugh. We are halfway through this season. Complete the sentence. Tottenham Hotspur doesn't exist without...
eventual pain.
We're looking for a name or okay, eventual pain is Harry's answer. Alex. Something more upbeat, maybe.
Well, presumably this comes from his Pochettino's quote about Dembele earlier in the season.
Yeah, actually, should put that, yeah. So Dembele, I think it was before he was back to fitness, he said, we don't exist as a team without him.
I feel like the only answer at the moment in terms of on the field is Pochettino.
Yeah, I was going to say the same thing.
Because like you could say Kane, but we could like feasibly somehow you could replace Kane in terms of like output and goals. But Pochettino and the bond he has with the squad can't really replace it.
He's made three players that could conceivably be worth under $3 million each, i.e. Ali, which is pretty much what we bought him for, Kane and Rose, be worth 140, 150 million.
It was really funny the other day because I was looking through the tweets when Marouane Fellaini signed his deal at Man United, and like the first reply was like, my cat died today, but this is still the worst news I've heard. Like, we had similar replies with Danny Rose when he signed his deal. And that was like proper faith from Pochettino. And ever since then, like, Jesus, he's paid him back. Like, genuinely, he is. Like, he's the best left back. I think he's the best left back in the league. He's probably one of the best left backs in Europe.
He's
as
in
well.
Top three in Europe, definitely.
Yeah, like, without
if
doubt.
If you ever doubt Pochettino, and people still do, and all right, there are reasons why, and we do throw the cups, and we do still have a bit of a psychological problem in certain games, but to see. Like, ignore Kane. Kane's a freak. Like, he came from nothing. He was still just playing youth team and championship football. He was made of skin and bones, and he just took his chance, and he's done really well, and he's done rightly so. But Danny Rose was a Premier League footballer that had no future when Pochettino took over. He was at Sunderland. We were about to sell him for, like, $8 million, I think, like, at Sunderland. And we were all looking at going, like...
Good deal, that.
Yeah, you've accidentally put an eight in your $8 million offer because he's worth fuck all. And nobody rated him at all, including myself as well. I didn't see anything in him that made me think, let's keep this
guy around. He had a proper dig at Suárez the other day as well.
Yeah, he did. His interview was it. I couldn't sit behind people that didn't want to play for Spurs
only
anymore
play,
or something like that.
Like, he can like spend a season only playing when like someone says they don't want to play.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But like we had...
thinly veiled considering we had one left back back in season. So, yeah.
But yeah, in 2012-13 we had Asuakoto and Norton as our left backs.
Oh, and like, Tongan. And they were both fucked.
And people still weren't talking about Rose. Like, he just wasn't an option at all. Like, there was no like, oh, when he comes back from Sunderland we'll like put him in the team.
There's a great picture of the two of them, Walker and Rose, like when Walker was playing for Sheffield United playing against each other.
Who was Rose playing for? I tried to look into
I don't know.
Yeah, I don't know. Is it looked don't know. Maybe. It looked like a Burnley badge or something like that. It looked like it was like a burgundy kit, or
it was a bit odd. But yeah, I think Pochettino's done an amazing job. I think my internal pessimism took over with my answer there.
I'm going to give you another chance to answer then, Harry. Are you going to go with Pochettino as well? Or
yeah, I think
yeah,
kind of have to.
If not, Toby. Last question. Let's do it.
Chirpy.
What's the girl one called? Lily.
I don't know. I always thought
have you
it
not
was...
seen Chirpy's wife?
I genuinely always thought this is really horrible, but I genuinely always thought it was Chirpette.
Yeah, I thought it was Chirpet as well, but it's. I think she's got a name on the back. I'm pretty sure it's Lily.
I mean, I really don't know.
Chirpy, I have no
was
idea.
Played by a woman for a little while. I told this story, didn't I, on the last pod that you were on? Or one of the
no, it was
pods.
A couple of pods back. It still makes
my
me
mate
laugh.
Spent a wonderful evening with the girl that played Chirpy.
That was classy as hell.
It was classy on both counts, yeah. Really. Yeah.
I genuinely listened back to that a couple of months ago because I stumbled across it because it was in my iTunes.
All right.
As like, you haven't finished listening to this, because I genuinely like looked for it to listen to you tell the Chirpy story.
Yeah, it's a good story. It's funny.
I listened to it again and it made me laugh again.
We've probably got a few new listeners. So a friend of mine once went home with a lady, spent the night with her next day, and he was he asked her what she did for a living. She said she's in sports entertainment, which is correct, I suppose. And then the next day, he was like, "I've got to get off, I've got to go to work." It's like, right, okay, well, I'll leave at the same time. So I think it's a little bit awkward for that morning. And she went, right, okay, I'm getting on. And they both got the same train, and they both realised about halfway through, like, are we going to the same place? She's like, what exactly do you do? He's like, well, I dress up as Chirpy and walk around like before the game and at half time and stuff. I mean, can you imagine? Like, can you actually imagine? I don't know how much she got paid, but I must have, for being Chirpy, for not for the evening. Sorry, that was just a
quick clarification.
That,
I like
God,
it.
I thought that could have gone really badly there.
Yeah.
Anyway, let's do the last question. I think it's Shory or Showery. Shory Ozspurs at Shory _Ozspurs. Can the Poch era match the Bilnick and Birkinshaw eras? Oh, God, I should have read that before I asked that. We're running really over. That's probably quite a big question, isn't it? Can it? Yes or no?
Well, it's quite simple. If we win a lot of stuff, it will. If we don't, it will just be, not forgotten, but it'll just be like another era that could have been but wasn't.
That's why we invited Alex on. Yes, if we win shit.
If we win stuff, yeah.
Yeah.
It's kind of right, though. I mean, I don't think it's ever going to be forgotten. Purely for the reasons that you just said, like for the emergence of players and, you know, players that genuinely we all love as well. Like there's not, I don't think there's anyone in that squad that anyone would say, I just don't like him. I honestly don't, especially in the starting 11. Like there's just no one there that you take a disliking to, really.
There's a shared love as well, isn't there?
It's, yeah, definitely.
In any other team, Kane would be the...
Gotcha.
Berbatov and the Bale.
But now I think we've got a real bond with this squad. And I think Pochettino has kind of made us love Tottenham again. Properly love Tottenham. Mm. Like beforehand it was like I come here because I chose to support you when I was a kid. Do you know what I mean?
Had it forced upon you, yeah.
Yeah, like now we come here because we see the best football in England. And we genuinely do. Yeah. Mm. So, yeah, I think if we win the league, this is Spurs' best era ever. If we win the league.
It would be the hardest, the most difficult achievement. Like, to win in the era of money and success of the clubs around us that they've had for the last 30, 40 years.
It's about time we stop doing that thing of, like, this is your best ever season, but you finished fifth.
Mm. Yeah, like AVB's points total.
Yeah, do you know what I mean? Like,
did Pochettino beat that? He didn't, did he?
No, 72.
And we can't.
We got 70.
But if we carry on playing like we are, that's a huge if. Mm. But if we do, we'll finish this season with 78 points, which is club record by far. And we're on course to score more than Leicester did last season and concede less.
It's a more competitive league, isn't it, this season? Definitely.
Yeah, so
that's something
more.
Else
yeah.
I was going to ask, actually. Like, the fact that this is a more competitive league and we're still fighting... Well, we are in a title race, let's say this early. We might as well. But last season, everyone was like, well, the league is so poor and, you know, there's no point...
Only because it was Leicester and Spurs.
Yeah, but...
That's the only reason.
But
yeah.
But that, take it as a point on its own, then. If Leicester win the league, it's got to be a bad league. Surely.
Yeah.
Come on, you know, let's face it. But therefore, Leicester are nowhere near it. We've got six clubs. Five of them are really flying. Well, they've all got their own problems, but they've all got their own like reasons to be successful or feel like they can be successful this year, and we're still up there and we're still doing the same things as we did last season, still got that same sort of connection, still got that same management.
It's incredible. It is genuinely incredible. Yeah. Like there is I read a piece the other day and it was like Tottenham shouldn't be title contenders. And it's spot on. Mm. Like we shouldn't. And if we do win the league this season, and I genuinely think we've got a really good chance if everyone stays fit. All right, Vertonghen's injured. But other than that, if everyone else stays fit for the remainder of the season, they keep performing as they are, I don't see any reason why we wouldn't at least finish second.
Mm.
At least. I mean, Chelsea are just that team, aren't they? They go and they score that goal and they win the game 1-0.
And
despite,
they're still 7 points ahead.
It's a huge gap.
Yeah.
It's a massive gap.
Considering we have played them twice as well, there's no chance to reduce it in that 6 points. Yeah.
And they've not got Europe either.
Yeah.
Which is huge.
Only Chelsea could benefit from being shit. Do you know what I mean? Like, they were so shit last year that they're going to win the league.
Yeah, they're probably going to go
Liverpool
first.
Liverpool nearly did it.
Temp first
as well. They're just...
pricks. Yeah, absolute pricks. Sorry, Alex, I've cut you off a couple of times there. But,
no.
This Pochettino team, is this... So how old are you, actually?
20.
Wow. Oh, God, youth.
Oh, my God.
But
I think this is the first time I've come on this pod with someone younger than me.
How old are you?
22. I had to think about that.
Oh, Christ.
So used to saying 21.
So much youth amongst 22. All of you. But is this, I mean, this must be the best Spurs team that you've seen. And you get to use this for, like, generations going forward as well. But is it a case of you have to win stuff for you to be able to say this was a successful period for Tottenham? Or?
Well, it feels successful as it's going along. And it's, like, hugely enjoyable. Like, the last few weeks, it's like, so enjoyable winning and, like, knowing you're watching a really good team. But ultimately, looking back on it, I feel like we need to win stuff.
I guess as well that we have to look at where we were when he took over Pochettino, and
that's true. But I think
we
when you
it's still an achievement. Like winning, what we're doing at the moment is an achievement, but winning stuff is what is like makes it like an incredible achievement.
Mm.
Yeah, definitely. I think it's that thing of like sit down with the grandkids and you're like, I remember this Tottenham team. They played fantastic football. Yeah, but granddad, did they win anything? No, but that's not the point.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
That's going to be the argument.
We paid for a hell of a stadium.
Ah, it's a hell of a stadium. I want it to be Nike, because I just want it to be Nike Hart Lane. I think that would be funny.
Oh.
Come on.
I get AMF. Against modern football, Harry. That's a terrible idea, and you're never coming back, I'm afraid.
You'd rather have Qatar Airways Hart Lane. Qatar Airways Lane.
I'm not going that far.
Qatar Lane.
Just White Hart Lane. It'll always be White Hart Lane. I think we know that.
Well, it will, but...
New White Hart Lane. That's the football manager approach.
New White Hart Lane.
Yeah.
Is that what they've called it on the... All right.
Yeah.
Never got that far. It's not bad. Shit at football manager.
We can just have it... like, because if Maurizio Pochettino... if we're doing it football manager, if Maurizio Pochettino stays for like 30 seasons, then it will just become the Maurizio Pochettino Stadium.
Oh, I imagine.
That'd be amazing.
The Poch stand. The Poch cop.
Oh.
Yeah.
Oh, nice. It's close to something else. But we were all right.
Yeah. Oh, well.
When you said it, I thought you'd said the other thing.
What was I going to say?
Really?
No, I honestly don't know.
Well, I thought you'd said the Poch cock.
Oh, right.
Which kind of works, actually, given the Golden Cockerel Lounge.
Yeah, yeah.
You could have the Poch cock lounge.
We've got license to use that. Yeah, yeah. Yeah. Oh, well.
We've got a plan here, lads.
Yeah, it looks like it. Let's pass
it. Let's email Levy.
Yeah, with this. Got a lot to sift through, mate. Right, guys, let's wrap this up because we have run over by quite a bit. Thank you so much for coming down, Alex at Biscuit Beck, Buttery Biscuit Beck.
Cheers, I've enjoyed it a lot.
Good stuff. We'll have you back again. Harry, sure to have you back. Can't stay away. Thanks for coming down, mate.
Like
really
crabs,
appreciate
mate.
It.
Just keep coming back.
Exactly, yeah. Speaking of which, we really hope Dan's going to be back next week. Not saying he's got crabs, but just an illness of some sort.
No, say that on the pod.
No,
go on,
get well soon, Dan. Yeah. Hopefully that bagel's worked its way out of your system. Yeah, you'll be back next week. As will I, we'll be back with a Man City review. And who we got after Man City? Sunderland.
Wickham.
Oh, Wickham. Oh,
Wickham.
God.
That's the game.
So purely a Man City review then.
Yeah.
Yeah. Thanks very much for joining us. We'll see you next week. Bye.
Bye-bye.